This is Tabletop Babble, and I'm Amber. Hello! Before we get into today's episode, I have a show announcement. Starting next Monday, that's August 9th of 2021, wonderful writer, designer, and podcaster Kristen Devine is joining the Tabletop crew to specifically talk with people who are currently crowdfunding a TTRPG, board game, or tangentially related project. This show will be called Tabletop Crowd and will air every other Monday with the possibility of a weekly bonus episode here and there. No promises, no guarantees. If you have a crowdfunding project coming up in October, November, or December, please email us at tabletopbabble@gmail.com and maybe we can get you on the show. Also, apologies for people who've emailed me and I haven't gotten back to you. I'm still not used to checking Tabletop Babble's Gmail and I will be getting on that. Anyway, this is very exciting for me because having this extra help will allow me and Kenny to do more Tabletop Spotlight episodes and plan out other cool new things for Tabletop Babble. So thanks, Kristen, for joining. I hope you guys enjoy her shows. Sometimes we get Kickstarters on here, and it'd be nice to have just a dedicated show for that. So, woohoo, Tabletop Crowd! Anyway, today is a very special episode of Tabletop Babble. I attempted to interview the entire cast of Dames and Dragons at once. So, while this episode is a little bit less structured than most, it also perfectly captures why Kat, Noelle, Juniper, and Hannah, in that order, have attracted so many fans to Dames and Dragons. We sat down on June 16th and chatted about the inspiration for each of the characters, getting your yah-yahs out, and most regrettably, Kurgum. Oh yeah, I forgot about Kurgum. Also to note, I usually try to keep the episode PG-13. I just gave up trying to control that during the interview. And to our dear, dear editor Dave, thank you. And I just told him to leave the cussing in. So, explicit warning, there is cussing, there are F-bombs. If you have any kids listening, maybe if you don't want them exposed to that, don't listen. But if you're a fan of Dames and Dragons, I'm sure you're used to it. Okay, fine, the show's starting now. Hello, and welcome to Tabletop Babble, Dames and Dragons! This is the first time I think, yes, not think, I know this. Why did I say like I think like I don't know this? Anyway, this is the first time I've had more than two people on at the show, so...
Are you sure?
Oh, no, no, they're all...
Are you sure?
Are you sure
there's more than two of us? Are you sure we are not simply one guest with
no,
four
well,
heads?
And...
Like the
four different backdrops.
Of guests.
Well, there was a Yaddle backdrop that I missed very
yeah,
much
there
now.
Was.
So
I can bring it back.
Please bring back the Yaddle.
Okay.
I feel much more at ease
understand.
When I
know, I
know that Yaddle
when
is
I
in
can
the room
see
with
Yaddle.
Me.
Oh, I just sorry. I just thought of something. Are we gonna have time where we can talk about off topic?
Oh, it's already happening. You know what, listeners. I just knowing who all of us are as people, you're already in for a special treat. Like, it's gonna be, who knows where we're gonna go tonight. I have three questions prepared.
I love that.
We might get those answered.
Who knows?
We might
get two
stick
of them.
Stick around and find
well,
out.
Well, if you're wondering who I'm talking to, this dragon with four heads, go around and do some introductions. I know you guys have your own order you usually do for your show for Dames and Dragons, so let's go with that order. You know how it goes.
Bold of you to assume we really
I was told explicitly before.
You were told by me and Kat.
No, I'm being awful.
Yeah. No,
I'm being awful. We can
we
do
know
it.
Our order.
I'm so
we
sorry.
Don't do it.
I literally don't know if I go before
I
or after
don't.
Noelle
okay.
right now. I'm so scared.
Don't worry, Kat will always tell us what to do, and that's just how we'll live our
lives. All right,
lives,
Kat, you're my co-host tonight.
All right, well, because I guess I'm the captain of this ship. Hi, I'm Kat, and I am the DM for the Dames and Dragons podcast, and these are my three other heads.
And,
are we doing
pronouns?
Yeah, that'd be great. Mm. Pronouns too, please, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She, her pronouns. And now you must answer these riddles three before I'm able to let you cross the bridge. Riddles three, go!
Hello, I'm Noelle. I'm your first riddle, and I'm telling a lie. I play Fran on Dames and Dragons, which is a podcast that we all are on. And
and your pronouns?
My pronouns are she, her, and I just saw a huge helicopter fly past my window. One of those things was a lie. Figure it out.
Yeah, it's you.
It's always you, Juniper.
It's always you.
It's always been you.
Always go after it's Noelle. Me.
I forget. I literally forget. In my mind, I was like sure that it was Hannah and then me and then Noelle. Anyways, hi, I'm Juniper, and I only tell the truth. And I play Corbin on Dames and Dragons.
All of us are on
it. It's a D&D podcast. we play D&D. We're all on it.
Pronouns.
And
all right, we got it.
Oh, my pronouns are they, them. Anyways, I'm right behind you.
And hello. Why, it is I, the fourth riddle. And I'm here to reveal to you that Noelle always tells the truth. And Juniper always lies. What will your decision be? And I'm Hannah, and I play Slake on the podcast, a half-orc fighter, and I use they-them pronouns.
Would you say all of us are on the podcast together?
You know, you
could
might
say that we are all on the podcast.
You might even say
that. You could even.
Now, if I'm always telling the truth and Noelle's always lying, which of us is not on the podcast?
Answer!
Oh, shit.
If you can answer this riddle, then we shall let you past, and you may plunder the treasure room. But watch out. There are traps.
Okay, I'm back. I left the room for a little bit, and let them take over the show. Now I'm back.
Mentally.
Welcome to the energy for the rest of this episode.
And actually, you know what's funny? All five of us have been on Dames and Dragons. I was on.
Oh, yeah. We are all on the podcast.
Oh.
Yes. Amber was our wonderful guest.
Yeah.
You could
One
say.
Could yep. say.
You're
I was because I was like, I would have signed up first because I don't want to have to follow anybody better of a player than me.
Nonsense and pish posh. You were excellent.
It was a good time. And it was much like this right now. So for my listeners, if you wouldn't mind, who maybe don't know your show, have not listened, and I'm gonna point this onto Kat. Like, what is Dames and Dragons? How did Dames and Dragons become a thing?
Well, what is Dames and Dragons? Dames and Dragons is an experience. Dames and Dragons is a lifestyle. Dames and Dragons is a multimedia
conglomerate?
Scheme.
Marketing
level.
A pyramid scheme?
Yes.
Oh my god. Do I have to sign up and then find like five people to host Dames and Dragons parties and
sell
them mugs?
You've already been on the podcast.
Oh, that's right.
You're already
sorry.
Signed up. Oh, you're in the scheme. You're in
you're
the
already
pyramid.
An executive.
But so Dames and Dragons is allegedly a 5e actual play podcast. We got started in what?
2017 we started.
Yeah, we just did this.
We started recording in 2016.
We just talked about this in our Q&A episode, and I edited that, and we talked about it for like 15 minutes. So
I think it's really important that people know that we did start recording in 2016, and then we started to air in 2017.
I also want to reiterate that we did start in September of 2016. And honestly, think about it.
Good at the specifics.
The energy think that is in it. The first few episodes, if just think about it.
It's big 2016.
September 2016. A lot going on.
Were you guys playing Dungeons & Dragons before you started recording a podcast?
Allegedly. Again,
everything
accusing us of things, Amber.
Everything on this show today may or may not be true.
It'll never hold up in court.
It'll never hold up in court. We had played one game of D&D, well, one campaign of D&D that I DM'd with our much wider friend group. And it did balloon to the point where I think at one session we had like 13 people all playing.
Yeah, it was insane.
And that was the last time we ever met. Yeah. That, campaign.
Ever.
Yeah. That was the last time we ever did it because it just very quickly we realized, oh, we can't do this. And then it collapsed like a dying star into a black hole that became this podcast. And then Hannah joined us, what was that, 2018 so. Probably? 2019?
Oh, I was so young.
You were so young.
I can hardly remember.
I think it must have been 2018 that you joined us.
That
somebody
sounds right.
Can fact check this and it won't be me. But yeah, so Hannah joined us 2018 and then we've just been a beast with three heads.
And one and butt? Are you saying I'm the butt?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Where's the fourth head, Kat?
No, three heads, one butt. One of us is a butt and you're just going to have to guess
I know who's
who
acting
is.
Like a butt, Kat.
Yeah, Kat.
That was a good summary. Great job, Kat.
Thank you.
Yeah, good job.
So good, Kat.
Oh, thank you. Thank you
really
for the
nailed
positive
it.
Positive affirmations. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So I
no,
I
that was pretty much it. That was pretty much it. Like, well, because like my next question then would be like, when you sat down, because you're on like you just finished your sixth arc, correct? Right. Okay. So six seasons. Did you think when you first sat down we're going to be doing this for six seasons?
Yeah. Oh no.
No.
Well, I think, like, we thought maybe that there, like, I remember Kat saying towards the beginning, there'll be, like, 10-ish arcs, but we thought the arcs were going to be, like, five episodes each.
Yeah.
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 And I think we also had, like, a mentality of, well, you know, like, if we do this and then, like, it doesn't take off the ground, we'll just stop and DM for ourselves, like,
we'll just,
without having to put the effort into producing a podcast.
Yeah.
And I think...
And then, unfortunately, we were successful.
How?
We had to keep going.
Terrible. Though, I guess then, okay, so, because, you know, me DMing and preparing campaigns myself, and I've done the same thing with, like, my show, too, where it's like, oh, maybe I'll do this for a while as I get used to GMing, but now it's kind of ballooned into something bigger than I thought. Mm. I've only listened to maybe, like, the first half of the first season. I have meta knowledge, right? Like, I know Kat is a lore fiend, right? Like, writing, love stuff, story is a huge deal for Kat. At what point in your, okay, we're going to be doing this, did you start being like, I'm going to make this whole story, or did you already have the, like, a story nugget to begin with?
Yeah, so I started, you know, the way many writers do, I started with half of a plan and a lot of gumption. They're a lot more motor than map, we'll say. But I did have basically the first four arcs very solid, well, five arcs solidly planned out. And again, I didn't think they would take nearly as long
as they
did.
I mean, at the get-go, when you guys were sitting down to record, you had in your mind five arcs?
I had in my mind, more or less. So what I had was, and we're going to spoiler tag here, because it's very hard to talk about this without spoilers. So at the end of the first arc of Dames and Dragons... The first season takes place on a floating island. End of that first season, spoilers, the island falls. And I knew that was going to happen, and then I knew it would be one more season of them exploring the new world and getting their bearings, and then it'd be three seasons of, basically, I had three cities where there was something happening in each one. And depending on the order in which they went to those cities, those things that were happening would progress in different ways. So the order that they ended up going in was not necessarily the only way things could have unfolded. It could have unfolded in a bunch of different ways, and I had all of that mapped out pretty much from session one.
I'm sorry, this is a deep lore question that only Dames and Dragons listeners will understand, but I do need to know, could Orestes have been as redeemable as Milava was?
Fuck. Yeah, actually, yeah.
He's a character we met in season six, but apparently we could have met in season three.
Oh.
We could have met him
and
much earlier.
Yes.
I was trying to think of a low-level PG-13 swear word.
The worst.
The worst, yeah.
He's the worst.
You know, I would actually say that probably if you had gone that route and if Orestes was your first villain that you really met, you probably would have had, I think the way that I was planning it is it would have been something where you would have ended up with either Orestes or Phelan.
Are you, Kat, are you fucking saying that Orestes would have had the redemption arc? And
yeah,
Phelan would have been he just would have been like, bitch.
I'm going off the deep. Oh,
yeah, but like same.
Messed up, Kat. That's messed up.
I'm keeping all of this in because this is like what I wanted to showcase. It's like to me, as not knowing this stuff, not knowing your guys' deep lore, it's super cool, like to know that this stuff is, and also to see the behind the scenes stuff as a GM. Like you plan this stuff out, and it's also really nice to have your three players here who can help me ask you questions. So we're good. But I guess okay. Go ahead.
We're good.
Yeah, you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, well, good. I hope people find it interesting. I never know how much of this stuff is, like, interesting to other people it's just the stuff that's been, like, it's the recycle bin of my brain, basically.
Some people's trash is other people's treasure, Kat.
Kat, you know people are, like, super thirsty for your lore. You know they are.
I am a desert, and I will give only small ways.
One thing, though, that, like, I think is so, I mean, it's relevant to this conversation, but it's also just, like, it's a huge strength of yours as a GM, but also as just a writer. The fact that, like, you think of a lore, and you're like, yeah, that's it. Like, and you, like, you believe in it. You know what I mean? I mean, I know that, like, and then it makes everyone else, like, super believe in it. Like, I know, like, one time we had an intro to a Dames and Dragons episode where I was like, hey, guess what, you guys? Kat made all this up. Like,
this came from my brain.
I remember that.
I know.
We were like, shut up.
Because, like, this is crazy. The verisimilitude is so strong because of your decisiveness and belief system. I don't know. It's really good.
It's true.
Well, a lot of that comes from my background in improv. Here, we'll do your job for you.
I love it. I'm just watching.
I'll talk about my background, which is I cut my teeth teaching 16-year-olds improv. And therefore, I am invincible.
Yeah, you're an unkillable god.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you have gotten a 16-year-old to yes and...
There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing. Nothing can hurt you. Yeah, nothing can hurt you after that. Mm-hmm. So like, that's, you know, that's kind of where that comes from. It's just that I have been doing that for pretty much my whole life. I grew up in theater. Both my parents are actors. My mother and father met at a Renaissance festival while she was a clown and he was a knight. So, like...
Can I make it any more obvious
of, like, who I am? Who the child those two people
The child
raised?
Of a clown and a knight?
Clown knight.
It's all making sense!
Clown knight!
Okay. So then I want to know, pivoting to the player's perspective, when you guys sat down at the table... with Kat, how much of this did you, I mean, obviously not everything, but how much did you know was planned, and like, how much were you contributing to the world building as well?
Oh, sure. So at the beginning, basically, like, Kat kind of planned out mostly everything. I mean, we planned out our own characters, and then Kat kind of adapted storylines around, like, what we said our values were and our like motivations, which is had like, long implications.
I remember, Kat, I think maybe we talked about this in the Q&A. I literally don't remember anything that happens anywhere, but I remember you saying that you based Corbin's whole like arc with Pavia off of the fact that I put like a throwaway line in his character sheet about him having prophetic dreams of a coming disaster.
Yeah,
like
what a throwaway
and
line.
I was like, nice. What a throwaway lie.
just
that's just the type of line that I throw away. I don't know.
Just crow things.
Just a casual prophetic vision line.
Just a casual prophetic
vision
line.
Yeah, that's the sort
line.
Of shit
a
that a DM absolutely should seize on. Does a character have prophetic visions? That's a story hook.
It's true.
That's,
is.
You know, maybe something.
Yeah. Does a character hate that they're here? That's a story hook. Does a character? I don't know. I ran out of examples. I started the sentence before I knew where it was going. Just like this podcast,
done wonderfully.
I was going to say, like, let's talk about your guys' characters then, because we know Kat's GMing, and you introduced who your characters were at the beginning or who you were playing. But like, let's talk more about your characters and your concepts and all that fun character generation stuff that isn't the number part.
are numbers involved in D&D?
I don't really use them, so.
I recently had to play in a one-shop. Had to. I was asked, and I said yes, willingly.
You were played you at gunpoint.
Yeah, you were forced to.
You were recruited into a multimedia marketing scheme.
It's called D&D. And I was, they were like, you're going to be a 16th level character. And I was like, oh, God, I have to create a 16th level character? And then I went on to D&D Beyond, and I said, generate for me a 16th I don't care what it is.
That's the way.
Yeah, it took away all that. But yeah, for you three, I don't know if we want to do podcast order or what. Let's do that. Tell me about your character.
Podcast order starts with Noelle, and then it will be Juniper, and then it will be Hannah.
Thank you, Kat.
Thank you, Kat. Kat, thank you. You saved my life. Thank you.
Kat, how long did you have that planned out?
Believe it or not, I knew that.
Even before I joined the podcast, you knew what order.
Yeah, I knew. I knew it. I saw it in a prophetic vision that was a throwaway at the beginning of this whole
That makes sense.
So, anyway, first of all, I don't think we haven't outright said this, but we had another player before we had Hannah. So we had a wonderful player named Sophia, who played a wonderful character named Laika. And it was originally my character, Fran, Juniper's character, Corbin, and then Sophia's character, Laika, and then Hannah's wonderful character, Slake, joined on later. Just for context, for anybody who hasn't listened to our podcast, but listened through all that Arresty stuff and was like, yeah, this sounds like I'll just keep listening.
I'll just continue.
Guess I'll keep listening.
Anyway, so I play Fran, and I created Fran. I birthed her from my own body, and she basically immediately my only concept, I've talked about this a few times, but like my only concept was like, I want to cause conflict in the party. I want this character to like be kind of an asshole, but like not so much that she's unpleasant to listen to, just enough that like it's interesting, so that it's not always like us talking to each other and being like, where should we go next, guys? I agree, let's go, you know. Basically, so we could have more scenes, like, between characters talking, which I think, especially early on, did behoove
that
us.
That helped a lot.
Yes, yeah.
Since, you know, there was a lot of scenes of people being like, oh, let's do this logical thing, and Fran being like, I don't wanna. Let's talk about why.
Are you implying that either Corbin or Laika suggested to do a logical thing at any point?
I did my damnedest to guide you.
I am remembering the time that we made a three-person stack of people.
I'm remembering the time that you cast a shrink object on the...
Yeah, on the entire bathroom above us.
Yeah, a whole room above you. And
Kat didn't, that was your solution. To your credit, you didn't go where you could have gone with the sewage problem, so... Yeah. Mad respect. Anyway, but...
Yeah.
We keep it classy.
So, like, that was kind of my motivation. And I wanted her to be kind of, like, you know, a funny character. So she's constantly embarrassing herself, which I think is what makes her not so obnoxious to listen to. Because even if she's being kind of mean, you're like, but she's so weak. You know, like, she can't really hurt anyone because she's only hurting herself. But... Yeah, I know, she's a love her to death. But anyway, so I had this character hook that was basically, like, the only person that she's really loyal to is her old mentor, and she doesn't really want to be a guardian of the goddess, which is the original setting of the podcast is there's these three characters, our three characters, who have been being trained to be guardians to a goddess that rules over this floating island. And... then the mystery unfolds, but I thought it'd be interesting to be the character who just was like, I don't want to be here. So it was fun. It was a good time.
I was like, I think I was remembering that first episode. Great. I think one of you was intentionally late to whatever. Was that Fran?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was Fran.
I don't know if it was... I guess it was intentional. You know what?
It was intentional, You intentionally overslept.
Yeah.
I think you said... I wish I wasn't here, and I wish all of you were dead.
I think that
I know, in fact, that you said, I wish I wasn't here because I have a sticker on my laptop that says that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, spoilers. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, spoilers.
Spoilers for future merch.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Get it here. Exclusive for Tabletop Owl.
Yeah, bang.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, she's a wizard, and she's an illusion wizard. Not because I thought that would be useful, but just because I thought it would be funny.
Yeah, I love...
Yeah.
Character for what I played in Arc 6 was based off of a character I played in another game who I wanted a wizard who was an illusion wizard that over time was becoming disillusioned. And he was a very happy child boy, loved candy, but love the it. World is not sweet. Anyway.
That's so true.
Wow. Okay, who's so next? True.
Juniper, you're next.
Do you remember?
Juniper.
It's me.
Tell us about baby Voldemort.
Okay, so baby Voldemort, a.k.a. Corbin, is a human druid.
That's it. That's it.
That's it.
There's nothing else to say.
I still think his voice becoming.
That's his why voice we call changed him baby a lot. Voldemort, because he started as a baby Voldemort, and now he sounds like
I used to do this thing specifically to Sophia where I would, like, whisper in her ear in a Voldemort voice. And then I decided that would be a great idea for a character voice in the podcast. And then I didn't maintain it because it was not a good idea for a character voice in the podcast.
That's just, like, your opinion, man.
And so, it's just for me personally, I was weak, okay? Like, I just didn't have the strength to carry it forever, but I made Corbin specifically to be a character who would not have to confront serious emotion because I don't.
I
should have
done that. I mean, I
emotion.
Kind of did, I but like, I didn't mean to.
I know
it just happened because of
a
me.
Fool. No. Well, that's the thing is, I was like, I need to like put as many like signals out there that I don't want anybody to like make me have an emotion.
But you
as
know
I
that makes
can.
You
so
know
I thought
that makes them hungry.
No, and it put a target right on my back.
Oh, you know it.
And like, especially because Kat's DMing, and so she was like, "Oh, did you want to have like a character that doesn't have any deep feelings and represses everything? Here, let me force you to have like a scene of emotional
stress." Well, you've done
wonderfully.
Stress.
Anyways,
yeah.
Thank you.
You're doing amazing.
Thank you. But I made him a druid because I didn't want to commit to full magic, but I
did anyway.
Did anyways, because as it turns out, if you are not literally like a paladin or a fighter, it is absolutely useless to use your physical attacks when you have magical attacks. Yeah. I don't know. I made him.
What was your inspiration about his wardrobe?
To begin with, like, I straight up do think that I was just, like, put. Mm-hmm. I was, like, under the moment, and I was, like, I don't know, like, a boob window. Like, yeah. And then later on, like, as I became more, like, developed with the character and, like, you know, as I, like, worked with him more in the actual podcast, I was, like, you know what? He's, like, got big, like, style-wise, big Freddie Mercury vibes. So then I based a lot of my ideas
He's
for
a
his
queer icon. There's no doubt about
like,
it.
Like looks, after the eyeball suit that Freddie Mercury wore.
Beautiful.
But also just various other like stupid high fashion things that just expose a lot of skin for no reason. On specifically men.
Yeah, it's the play on the bikini armor and.
It is.
And also, Corbin is our damsel character, who has been imprisoned.
Which was not planned.
He has been imprisoned in every single arc of our podcast.
I genuinely have not tried to do that.
I haven't either.
We can debate what the word tried means. But intentionally,
lying
into
I was just playing the character.
Crevasses.
Great.
And then being like, oh,
jumping
no.
into crates.
That's just
I
the way he is.
I
was
mean,
just being
truly,
true to his character.
True, but, saying you didn't try. I don't know.
I didn't.
Give yourself credit for trying.
Yeah, give yourself credit for trying. Jennifer.
As a druid, though, don't you have an animal companion as well?
Yeah, Burger Jerger. And she was lost after the island fell and then recently came back because I... apparently Kat had been waiting for me to use a summon animal spell and summon a giant bird for like seasons.
Yeah.
And I just wouldn't do it.
We had talked about long ago, we were like, oh, these are the spells we'll use to get back our animal companions. And then we were always, there was never like a moment where we were like, oh, now's going to be a really good time. And we just kept forgetting.
Yeah, it's true. Well, and I think too, we kind of, especially as we started playing longer, all came to a realization that like we were really by trying to get our animal companions back.
Yeah, we were trying to torture Kat to death.
Like, and we were like,
she has to GM all these NPCs already.
Yeah. So we were like, maybe we can like let Kat live and just table the animal companions for a while.
And I love that about all of you. But we still ended up with animal companions because they're great.
Yeah.
Unavoidable.
Yeah.
Unavoidable.
All right.
Do you know who's next in the order?
I know. I can count. It's me. So, yeah, my character, Slake. So, yeah, as mentioned, I came in later, and I was already listening to the podcast.
And had been a guest. You know, wonderful guest.
Oh, yeah. And I had been a guest character back in, like, Arc 2?
Yeah, that was Arc 2.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was already a big fan of the podcast, and, you know, I was very nervous when I initially joined because I was like, what kind of character should I make? I want to not change like the tone of the show and also not be, you know, like derivative of any previous NPCs or
but
anything like that.
But also if you had been a total like shithead, sorry.
I believe you have a poop head.
Sorry.
Yeah,
if you'd been a total duty head, I just think the three of us together really would have, you know.
We would have figured it out. Because, like, no, we would have figured it out.
I think the world around us would have had to figure it out, meaning Kat would have had to figure it out.
Yeah.
Well,
By which you mean I would have to figure it out.
I also think there's something to be said for that, like, all of us went to high school together, including Sophia. So, like, it's not like we just picked Hannah up off the street.
No, I was found in a gutter.
In here.
Well, you were found in the same gutter, but we knew you were gonna be there.
Yeah.
We went to the gutter
to get you on purpose.
No, I was like, scouted. Actually, they were like, "We need a
dude,
really
that
talented
is actually
and
what
handsome
happened.
Stranger so... to appear on our podcast."
Well, we did. We talked about all of our friends. And we were like,
should probably cut that out.
No, but, like, because you had been a guest before, we were like, we know Hannah can do it, and, like, we'll knock it out of the park. But anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
Well, thank you. No, you're...
Yeah, continue.
Basically,
yeah,
your vibe was great, and we loved it.
Oh, you guys. Yes. But anyway, yeah, I was very nervous, but I was trying to kind of make a character that I thought, yeah, will you know, be funny and fit in with the world. But also, I was like, yeah, if I make a character who is a complete poop head... It will be very difficult because you've already got Corbin. I mean, don't get me wrong.
What are you saying?
No, I mean, I adore Franny Corbin, but if I had made someone who was very combative, I can see how it would have been an issue. And so, you know, I made a character that was actually the very much the opposite, a character who was extremely eager to please. To you know, hopefully comedic
effect. Yes, absolutely. But it did result in Slake being Fran and Corbin's intern for a full season.
Yes, it did.
Which, you know, a good time was had by all. Slake is a half-orc fighter. You know, I picked a fighter too because I was like, we've got a lot of magic happening. You don't need me to memorize spells as well. Come on. And they have like a beetle motif. Because I love me a nice beetle and
beetle companion.
Yeah, and you know the characters, the original guardian characters already, you know, kind of had each of them had like an animal motif, and so I wanted to pick something that felt right for me, and of course that was good old beetles. Yeah, and I was really relieved when we all were playing together and. It was working, you know, because I was very scared that I was just going to fuck up and destroy the entire show. So I'm glad
the vibe was immaculate.
I will say that, you know, as soon as your first time joining us and playing Slake, we immediately tried to bully you. We became yeah, we two literal bullies well, from Flake's past.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we literally did bully you.
And you know that I enjoy that.
It's honestly one of the highlights of the whole podcast.
No, I agree completely. I think it's one of our best episodes.
Did you guys have a conversation like that before playing with each other? Like, we might be bullying your character, or, like, it's okay if...
I had kind of had the opposite thing, where I was like, before I was on the show, I was like, you guys aren't going to be, like, really nice to me,
oh,
are
yeah,
you?
I forgot
like,
about
please
that.
Please don't do that.
And we were like, yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, like, we were definitely planning on it, but now we won't. No, we weren't.
Well, because I remember... You had told us that you, like, part of Slake's backstory mm-hmm. was that they had, like, these childhood bullies. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, Noelle and I, like, looked at each other from, like, across state lines, but in the same state. We were not in the room.
We were literally
like, psychically connected. And we were, like, yeah. Were we in the room? I don't remember. Anyways, we were probably separated, but the connection was of a psychic nature, and we were, like... We're going to play Slake's bullies.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun surprise, because what I had originally kind of envisioned was that they had kind of this shitty friendship with this one other person.
I mean, it was that, too, but...
And I hadn't quite pictured it being, like, you know... I had pictured it being kind of more of that subtle, like, this is a bad friendship
you
thing.
You think that Juniper's voice choices were subtle?
But it was a delight.
I did.
It was a delight.
Are you saying that Ainsley and the Gap don't have nuance?
So, anyway, well, it was a delight.
It was also because I remember writing it, because when we introduced Hannah into the podcast, we had a little, like, mini arc that was introducing mm-hmm. their character and, like, getting their character from their origin point to where the rest of the party is. And when I wrote that, I was like, all right, so I've got, you know, what we're going to have Noelle and Juniper there, so I've got to, like, have roles for them. Noelle will be... like the surly mentor, and then Juniper's I'm gonna cast as the bully, and then Noelle did the surly mentor part really great, and then the childhood bully appeared in the podcast, and Noelle just immediately made up a character that didn't exist. That's why
and,
the character's
and
name
history,
is the Gap.
History was born.
And history. We like. That was when they psychically connected, and they were like, oh, we gotta team up to bully. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then we knew.
And I just, at that point, had lost control, and I was just like, well, this is happening.
It's a good time.
Ready for a rules-light, narrative-failing-forward collaborative storytelling tabletop role-playing game?
Unsure of where to start? Powered by the Players is an actual play podcast featuring mini campaigns and one-shots of all your favorite Powered by the Apocalypse games.
Each campaign or one-shot will be a different PBTA game with a rotating cast of diverse players. We've got Masks, a teenage superhero drama.
Bluebeard's Bride, a feminist horror retelling.
Monster of the Week, a supernatural mystery.
Escape from Dino Island, a Jurassic Park-inspired adventure.
Crossroads Carnival, a Depression-era sideshow noir.
The next game we play could be yours. So join Morgan, Kristen, and Diana.
And let's power up.
Follow us on Twitter at PBTPlayers.
Subscribe on your favorite podcatcher.
Knowing the energy, the dynamic, and your own selves, as you have said to me so many times, we're just the ADHD crew. Like, keeping mm-hmm. us on track sometimes is difficult. And I totally can empathize with that as a person who also has focus issues. From a GM perspective, like, how have you been able to keep the story going and keep a, like, mm-hmm. as you said, like, there is a serious undertone. There is a big mythos and lore behind all of this. But then you also have, you know, friends, obviously good friends, who like to goof around with each other playing your game. So how have you been mm-hmm. doing that? Mm-hmm. So successfully. To your detriment, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I honestly, and now this is going to be toot, that's my own horn. It's having an interesting story, I think, is building a story in which I know my players are going to be invested in it. So even when and part of it is also that I know everybody so well as their GM, I know what's going to hook them. I knew from, like, you know, we have a character, Phelan. He was introduced as, like, you know, the mm-hmm. bad boy. He's the betrayer god. And I was like, oh, all of my friends watched Avatar The Last Airbender, and all of my friends loved Zuko, so let's just introduce Zuko
as soon
in
as
here.
He was masked and wearing black armor, and that's all we knew about him, and we were all like, Zuko! It's Zuko! He's here!
No, we immediately were like, oh my god!
That's right. All we knew.
It's not that... It's sort of that weird pull of, like, I'm not railroading mm-hmm. them. I just know oftentimes how they're going to respond to things when I write them. So it can... It's just knowing what the pushes and pulls are with the group and, like, what's going to send them off on a wild tangent, which I don't always predict 100% of the time. A lot of the best times in the podcast are when I go, oh, we're going to breeze right past this, and they go, that's one weird detail we're going to focus in on. We're going to spend the next 3 hours mm-hmm. talking to this NPC that didn't have a name. Which is, I think, a universal experience as a GM. That just happened in the last episode
we gave her name.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, what's your name? And I was like, I didn't name this character, so I said to them,
I'm not
going to
tell
you
my name.
You know, she does, I'm not going to tell you my name. And they're like, well, then your name is Strong Betty Wolf of the Waves.
Yeah, Strong Betty Wolf of the Waves.
And it was.
Out of respect to Strong,
and
it truly
then
was.
Strong Betty Wolf of the Waves was born, and she's, look forward to that in Arc 7. God.
She's my hero. She's truly strong and Betty. Wolf of the Waves.
She's really, truly strong
but,
and Wolf of the Waves.
I think also... Absolutely. I think a lot of the reason that we are able to follow along is that Kat has an interesting story. And mm-hmm. I guess, like, I think part of it is that, like, for, like, Juniper and I, and, like, Hannah, you're a very interested in fiction. I don't know that you write very much, do you?
Not much.
But you do.
Not much.
You,
very,
you
very
GM,
not
though.
Much.
But anyway, you're of the same mindset, though, so I'm going to just say this. We have very writerly mindsets. And so I think, mm-hmm. like, we want to go along with a story in a way that's going to be satisfying to people. And that's going to be satisfying to us, and that's going to tell a good story. And it's not going to tell a good story if we're like, oh, I saw an orange over there, and, like, I'm going to go murder this town full of people because it's just D&D. You know?
Yeah, and I do think that all of us from the get-go, we have been aware that this is not... Our
yes,
home game.
Absolutely.
Our home game was
absolutely.
A very different game.
It was a little, you know
it
what?
It was very, very
I
different.
Was wearing corpse arms on my head, and that is the truth. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
You gotta bring that back.
It's true. Well, and you threw your father through the ocean like a football.
So.
It's one of my favorite
moments. So that was the energy of our home game. So from first episode recording Dames and Dragons, we knew that was not the energy. We came into it knowing this is a performance.
Absolutely.
This is something we are making for other people mm-hmm. to hear, and therefore we want it to mm-hmm. be something that is enjoyable mm-hmm. to listen to. And that oftentimes reflects in choices we make in the podcast, just in, like, on the fly we'll go, you know, sometimes we'll stop and go, wait a second, this whole thing is not interesting. Let's move on. Yeah, or, like, you know, sometimes it'll just be like, oh, this joke is dead. We need to leave it.
And well,
very rarely,
oftentimes
though, does that happen.
Be the person who said the joke being like, edit that out. That was stupid.
Exactly.
Or it'll be like us repeating the same joke over and over and over, and then the person editing has to be
this
like,
this was funny.
This was funnier in the moment.
Yeah.
Usually that's not the case.
I think, yeah, usually that's not the case, but...
No, but there's always been a being conscientious of the fact that this is mm-hmm. a performance. This is a product mm-hmm. that we are putting out into the world. And therefore,
and one of us will have to edit it.
And one of us will have to edit it.
Noelle,
and it was
mostly
Noelle. So we want
but
the, to
but this
kind.
Last arc, you all took turns editing, correct?
Except for
you
me.
Sure did.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except for Noelle, who took a hiatus mm-hmm. in our last arc, which is how we brought Amber in. Into the many-headed monster.
Yeah, you also
that
had like
you know,
Rudy was on, the TK.
Rudy Basso. Mm-hmm. Shouts to Rudy Basso, who's also helping with the editing now.
Yeah, TK.
Rudy Basso.
Yep. Yes.
Love you, mom.
Love you, mom. Our manager
of management.
Rudy Basso,
our mom. I'm gonna get an "I love you, mom" tattoo.
That's on official contractual paperwork.
It is actually on our contract with him. But yeah,
but
so we had Rudy Basso, we had TK.
TK Johnson.
TK Johnson.
We had Lisa
awesome.
Penrose.
Yes.
Celeste Conwich. And
Andrew
from
Chasm
Quest.
Andrew, yes, Andrew from Chasm Quest.
Along with starting quarterback, Amber.
Yes. Better not be forgetting anyone.
I don't think you are.
I don't think we are, but no. I'm going back to look because if we did forget anyone, we only forgot one person, and that's worse.
Yep.
No, we are not forgetting anyone because Andrew I remember Tom forgetting Noelle.
Oh, yeah, it was Noelle me. With the other I was guest. A guest.
Yeah. It was yeah. Noelle
Did you play
alone.
A different character uh-huh. then, Noelle?
Yeah, so actually I played a character who is... We have a side quest, a side story,
a bonus campaign,
which is on our Patreon. Yeah. And it's very, very fun, and we all love it, arguably more than the main campaign. And... So I played my character from that, and she got to meet Corbin and Slake, which was very funny and good.
I enjoyed it.
I like hearing stuff about behind the scenes, especially like when people who like listen to the show, right, are like, oh man, they get inspired. They want to make their own show themselves, and they don't realize they hear the edited product, right, and they hear like, it's just a bunch of friends having fun time together, and not realizing how much work and how conscious you guys are of the fact that you are producing a show. Even if you do spend, you know, from my memory, when I was on, we talked about Cat's Mail for like a good 5 minutes. I don't know if that actually showed up.
And you know,
there's a lot of what we like to call yayas.
You have to expel the yayas because they're going to come out one way or another.
Yeah.
So take the first like, you know, 10 minutes of the top of the show recording, get it out of your system.
More like the first hour.
Yeah, we really genuinely have started planning like half an hour to an hour before we need to actually start getting things done for us to just be at ease.
Just get the yayas out.
We have occasionally we'll meet and then we won't get our yayas out until it's like time to start recording, and then we're
we just have been sitting here having a serious conversation, and then like as soon as we start recording, it's like time to talk about I can't think of anything PG-13 to say.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Time to talk about Sonic the Hedgehog. Oh yeah.
I said PG-13, you guys. God, Jesus Christ, why would you say that on Amber's podcast? Have a little respect.
And I was just about to talk about how I've been like at my bedtime reading has been looking through Sonic the Hedgehog wiki and reading people's.
Oh my God, you're the most powerful. You're so powerful.
That's incredible.
If I did that, I would have nightmares.
And also, very rated R.
I'm fascinated about the lore that people are creating to the point where they have their PCs showing up in movies in universe of Sonic the Hedgehog. Yes. We're like Sonic the Hedgehog's in Fast and Furious like 11, and then they were this character on this off branch to this show, and I'm like, I wish I had this time.
Sonic the Hedgehog is a fucking nightmare universe.
It truly. There's nothing more to say after that.
It is.
Can I just bring something up so that I can use my one F-bomb?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So speaking of Googling weird wikis, I recently Googled the weird wiki of the Final Fantasy X audiobook, which is a sequel to Final Fantasy X-2. And I just need to tell you, okay, first of all, Titus and Yuta break up. So, like, that's weird.
What?
Okay, second of all, they're not the main characters. The main character is this girl named Chuami and her friend, whose name is Kurgum. Fuck!
Oh, wow.
Kurgum.
That tracks.
You know, I mean, I just did.
I screamed for fuck. Did you guys hear me?
You're so desensitized.
I mean, you know, I think it just makes a lot of sense, right? Because when you think about the fan base for Final Fantasy games, like, what medium do they really want their next piece to be in? Kurgum. And of course the answer is audiobook. Furthermore, like, who do they want to hear about in the audiobook? And obviously, it's Kurgum.
I was trying to look up the name Kurgum because I was like, what if this is a real name and, like, someone named Kurgum is going to, like, find me? So I looked it up. I couldn't find anything. But there were some people that were using the word Kurgum in song titles. So I looked it up on Google Translate, and it said that it was Icelandic. And when I translated it, it translated to Kurgum.
Kurgum,
baby, that makes sense.
Kurgum, if you're out there, we're sorry. We respect
Kurgum all the way down.
We think We think your name is beautiful. We're surprised to hear it in the context of the Final Fantasy audiobook.
We're all Kurgums on the inside.
I don't claim to be Kurgum on the inside. I don't want to claim
Kurgum on the outside. If I was going to name this podcast,
I'm Kurgum through and through.
You're just a Kurgum coated candy, baby.
Don't expose my skin.
If I was going to be naming this podcast episode like this, something other than, you know, whatever, Dames and Dragons, I would be called just Kurgum on the outside.
Kurgum. Yeah, baby.
I think we're...
Don't lick that candy.
Kurgum in the front.
Kurgum in the back.
Party in
Kurgum
the back.
Kurgum in the front. Kurgum in the back. Kurgum all the way around.
I'm sorry. I think we're getting way back into the yayas, right?
We're getting good. Yeah. This is good stuff.
Welcome
this
to the good energy content.
This is good Kurgum.
I've got Yaddle right here. She's ready.
Yaddle
She's
is
watching.
What made me originally think of Kurgum, and I've been waiting for a way to bring up Kurgum this whole time.
Well, I'm glad we got there.
You're welcome.
But I'm going to stop us right now. We're at that time, right, guys. I'm sorry. I would love to keep it going.
It's fine.
But... Oh,
no, I have to go grocery shopping.
Oh, you guys are an hour behind.
I gotta
me.
Go listen to this new audiobook I just heard.
But listen, if you, the listener, are into the energy that we have brought to this podcast today,
that's what our podcast is like.
That is our podcast from beginning to end. And all of us are on it. Everybody who's in this Zoom call is on that podcast.
You could say that we're all on it.
We're all on it. And it's.
Like
on
just
all
just,
of us.
Just like Kurgum,
we're dipped in it like a sweet
Kurgum.
Caramel Kurgum.
Goodbye. No, I'm so sorry, Amber.
I'm just very, very tired as well. Losing my mind. No. Okay. Yes. Damesanddragons.com, geekspective.com, because guess what? Dames and Dragons lives there, kind of.
And Amber, aren't you proud?
We do. Yes. We live inside geekspective.com. All of us.
You can find us at
it.
Kurgum.com.
We're on it.
No, you can't find them on Kurgum.gov. Don't go to Kurgum.com. I don't.
Wait.
What is that? We should look what that is.
We should buy it.
We should buy it if it's free. If it's available,
right,
we do need to purchase that domain.
Kurgum.com is not
okay,
taken.
Go daddy.
What are you buying?
Go daddy.
No. Go to Twitter. Go to Dragon Dames at Twitter. And that's where. Is Rudy doing most of your tweets? I don't know.
Yes.
The mom.
Yes. Yeah. Rudy is now most of our Twitter.
Yeah, he's most of our Twitter.
Oh, yeah. We can get Kurgum.com for $1 a month for the first year, you guys.
Mm. All right. Bye, everybody. We got one site to purchase. Thanks for coming on the show. Bye.
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 See you on Kurgum.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amber.
So sorry we're like this.
Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the show. You can find me on Twitter at RocketOrca, Kenny as at Volfmere, and John is at CrosswaysGM. Tabletop Babble is part of the Geekspective Network. Go to geekspective.com to check out all our other shows or follow us on Twitter at Geekspective. Our theme music was provided by the Battle Bards.